Well, good evening. Good to see you. How are you doing out there? It's good to be able to sing songs that declare our faith and our trust in a God who cares for us and who loves us. You know, we sang, "The Lord's my shepherd, and I will put my trust in you," we sang. And we talked about, "I will worship." That's decisions that we make. You know, you might not feel like it. Might not even want to, you might not be encouraged to, but you then comes a moment in your life for the decision, I'm going to do it anyway, I'm going to praise God, I'm going to put my trust in him. I don't know if you know the story behind that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. I don't know where, Matt and Beth Redman. Matt Redman is a big singer, well not as big as Lindsay right now, no, sorry Lindsay, being rude, but he sings a lot of praise songs, released a few albums, and a few years ago, out of a difficult experience, he wrote that song. The difficult experience was actually not as much his as his wife's, and she was carrying a baby, and they lost it. She had a miscarriage, and they lost the baby. And that was a difficult time, of course, for them both. But out of that difficult time, they wrote that song. Those desert moments in your life. And they made that decision, blessed be the name of the Lord. And it sometimes comes through hard times, isn't it, when we do that. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, chapter 4, verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." So we can feel difficult times. And Paul encourages us to trust in the God who is there and who cares. I'm going to be speaking to you tonight from the book of Jeremiah about the uniqueness of Yahweh. We're going to discover what that Hebrew name is about. You maybe know it already. So it's not about the uniqueness of Yahoo. So if you're worried about your Yahoo email account and it's all been taken over by these people that hack these kind of things, that's not what we're talking about tonight. So I was thinking of some of the recent events in our world. A man weeps over the ruins of his home in a town that was flattened within seconds in central Italy, where 300 people died and nearly 4,000 people were made homeless instantaneously. A man weeps over the ruins of his home as warm planes continue to pound the city of Aleppo in northern Syria, as the Syrian and Russian warplanes fly overhead in their offensive to retake rebel-held areas. A man weeps over the plight of his nation, awaiting judgment and destruction by the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon in the year 586 BC. Is he weeping because he's hurt and grieved by his people's persistent sinfulness? Yes. Is he weeping because the people won't listen to him and will blame him for everything that goes wrong? Possibly. Is he weeping because he's experienced rejection and persecution from his own friends? Probably. Is he weeping because he knows it could have been avoided? Most likely. For years he'd been telling them, look, you need to change the way that you're living. You need to get rid of these idolatries under Manasseh that you were secretly worshipping. Those superficial reforms that King Josiah put through Parliament, as it were, didn't change the people's lives. So you can pass laws to change situations, perhaps, change the way that the government expects you to act. You can't change people's hearts and lives. Only God can do that. So the people were worshipping idols, doing their own thing. They didn't really have a true belief in God. And Their lifestyle left a lot to be desired. And this was all awaiting them, judgment and deportation to Babylon. But Jeremiah, does he allow his circumstances to crush him, to perplex him, to put him down? No, he holds on to the promise that God gave him when he called him. And that promise was this: do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So what does he do? What's his strategy? His strategy is simple: to proclaim faithfully the way of the Lord, to live for the Lord, and to proclaim the name of the Lord. So he says, no one is like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. So Jeremiah is going to remind his people what this means. He's going to remind them of the uniqueness of Yahweh. He's going to remind them that only God is great. In France in 1715, King Louis XIV died after a reign of 72 years. He had called himself Louis the Great. He was the monarch who made famous his statement, "I am the state." He had absolute power, absolute authority, and he thought he was great. And his court was the most magnificent in Europe. And his funeral was equally spectacular. And as his body lay in state in the great cathedral, which was very dimly lit to kind of emphasize his greatness, because only a single candle was lit above his coffin. And at the memorial, thousands came and waited in hushed silence. And then the bishop, Massilion, began to speak. And he slowly reached down and he snuffed out the candle. And he said, only God is great. Jeremiah's people had given up on God. They'd stopped pleasing God and had given their love to other things, to other gods. And he constantly appealed to them to come back to the true living God. I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, where he makes a comparison between the true God and the kind of gods that they were following. This is Jeremiah chapter 10. He says, hear what the Lord says to you, O house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by signs in the sky, though the nations are terrified by them. For the customs of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and a craftsman shapes it with his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. So he compares their gods to a scarecrow in a melon patch. I don't know if you remember the cabbage patch dolls. Do you remember them? Did you ever have one? Anyone want to admit it? Maybe not. Well, that's what they're used in the message. That's what they're called in the message version of this. He calls them the stick gods. And this is what it says. Listen to the message that God is sending your way, house of Israel. Listen carefully. Don't take the godless nations as your models. Don't be impressed by their glamour and glitz. No matter how much they're impressed, the religion of these peoples is nothing but smoke. An idol is nothing but a tree chopped down, then shaped by a woodman's axe. They trim it with tinsel and balls, use hammer and nails to keep it upright. It's like a scarecrow in a cabbage patch. It can't talk. Dead wood that has to be carried, can't walk. Don't be impressed by such stuff. It's useless for either good or evil. All this is nothing compared to you, O God. you are wondrously great, famously great. So there is the stick gods that can't walk, can't talk, can't bring any life to the situations that the people need them for. So he reminds them who God is. I'm going to read the second part. It's from verse 6 of chapter 10 to 16. And this is the comparison from these stick gods, these cabbage patch gods. This is what he talks about as the true God. No one is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not revere you, O King of the nations? This is your due among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms there is no one like you. They are all senseless and foolish. They are taught by worthless wooden idols. Hammered silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. What Tarshish was Spain, of course, and we're not sure if Uphaz is a place or whether it's the quality of the gold that they're referring to here. What the craftsman and goldsmith have made is then dressed in blue and purple, all made by skilled workers. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. When he is angry, the earth trembles. The nations cannot endure his wrath. Tell them, these gods who did not make the heavens and earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. But the God who made the heaven by his power, he founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. His images are a fraud. They have no breath in them. They are worthless, the objects of mockery. When their judgment comes, they will perish. He who is the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the maker of all things, including Israel, the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord Almighty is his name. Now, I don't know whether you're obsessed with names. Some people like names. And I heard of a woman who bought her first baby naming book when she was in primary school. So she named her pets and her dolls with names that she found in this book. And maybe your name would give you away. I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody. If your name was Madonna, for example, we'd probably guess that came out, you know, a few years ago when Madonna was singing. Or if you called yourself Oprah, that kind of thing. Then sometimes people choose names that represent celebrities. There's a lady came to church this morning, to our church, and she was a granny with a pram and the baby in the pram. And I think she said the baby's name was Alia.